Welcome to Rome Boys. On this episode, we're going to discuss 10 positive takeaways from the coronavirus.
Can you believe it?
And there's more than 10, but we'll stick with that.
This is great. Let's just start off with number one.
If you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about?
Reset and get out of routine. I think everyone is out of routine right now.
Yeah, and routine can be a good thing. You know, I mean, you can have a positive thing, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, a time to pray in the mornings. And at the same time, to reset, it's a good thing to not just get stuck in a rut. And so coronavirus is doing that, man, waking us up to be able to, okay, what's my priorities? What's my, you know, what are some things I need to stop doing and hopefully starting? It's hopefully positive.
Guys, this is not common ground that we're on right now.
Right.
Saying the positive, obviously with COVID happening, you know, that's definitely new territory for us. Not that this is the only time in history that the, you know, society has been impacted to this degree.
In the world.
But in our generation.
Our generation for sure, which kind of scares us because, you know, the tech generation. And so this is your opportunity is what I'm getting at to, this is your platform. You can go anywhere you want. We understand that and appreciate you being here with us. But we want to see comments. This is the place where we're going to have these conversations.
Positive comments.
Yeah. Positive comments. The topic is, you know, 10 positive takeaways from from COVID-19. So,
because there's so much fear out there right now.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken?
And anxiety, and people are struggling, and they're, we need to stick positive because that's what God wants. The devil can work through the fear.
Yeah,
we need
absolutely
to stay away from the fear.
But a lot of people are off of work right now. So that is part of our routine, and they're getting a chance to reevaluate some things. But just our own routine, of course, as a farmer, farming doesn't shut down for anything. So my routine really hasn't changed all that much, except for we don't go to town as much. We don't go to town as often. My credit card bills are going to be great this month.
No impulse buying.
No impulse buying. We do stay at home more, so the gas bill is going to be a lot less.
That's cheaper now, but oh well.
Yeah. But at the same time, we're staying home. We are doing what we can, doing online orders and stuff like that, and trying to do what we can to not spread this thing out. Yeah. But I think a lot of it, staying home has been wonderful.
You mean you love QVC? Is that
no?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Sorry,
Amazon.
Okay, I think that's probably what everybody's thinking right now. Amazon, and well, my Amazon bill is going to be a little higher.
Yeah. Well, how's your routine changed, Denny?
Oh goodness. Well, this is kind of a difficult question for me because
you're in the middle of a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah,
so.
Thanks. It's true. You know, going from a job and to just pure entrepreneurship and. I thought, you know, well, my office is at home now, and I've, seen my family less in just the last 2 or 3 weeks. But so it's a difficult question for me, but I will say that I've been able to see everyone's change around me. And it's a hard question almost because I've been really engaged with the nursing home and with the staff there that my routine has changed, but for different reasons. So
I guess maybe the proper question is, how has the coronavirus changed your routine?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, I work from home, so, and helping with pilgrimages and J&J Threads and all those types of things. And so I get some cabin fever.
I got cabin fever! I've got it too!
And the kids would come upstairs and like, okay, I need some space, man. Like, you know, so to get outside and do some work, it's been nice with the weather being nicer. But yeah, it's tough to be able to call upon God and say, okay, right now it's stressful, or right now it's like, okay, I don't want to see another living soul because I've seen you all day, you know, and to call to God into that and to pray, to keep your peace and stay calm, And get outside and get the weed eater and get after it.
I'll say one point here. You know, I was talking to the deacon yesterday, and he said that, you know, father's getting kind of lonely. He's isolated, isolating himself for safety reasons, and he's getting kind of lonely. And I said, it's the opposite at our house. We've got so many people at the house. Yeah. It's like, I'm getting tired of you guys.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. I can relate.
I need to see some other people.
Yeah.
So as I had a second to kind of think about your question, for me, it's kind of interesting because I'm in healthcare and I'm in a nursing, you know, in the nursing home world. And I see people around me doing what we should be as healthcare providers doing every day, washing your hands and using hand sanitizer. And not that I'm a germaphobe by any means. I'm probably the opposite of it in at least the healthcare world. You know, people might think I'm a little loose with or lax with those things. But gosh, to see people be conscientious about this, I think it's going to be a good thing.
Sure.
My wife has made that comment already. She says at least one thing that comes out of this whole thing, everybody's going to have better hygiene.
Yeah.
They're going to be washing their hands more and cleaning more. And so, yeah, if anything, there's a bonus. That's not even on the list.
Yeah. Woo, 11.
Yeah, 11. So we don't want to steal all your thunder because we know you guys are going to have some great input. We've seen some of your comments so far, and we appreciate it greatly. So
keep them coming.
Yeah.
Number two, hunger for the Eucharist.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Some people haven't received Holy Communion in how many weeks now? And adoration chapels are getting closed. It's hard. It really is. And I would encourage people to go visit Jesus in the Eucharist in the church. And, you know,
spiritual communion,
find a way to unite to the Eucharist. And it's hard.
And for you non-Catholics out there watching, we're with you in just the communion with the fellowship of the people in your church families and in your Sunday school classes and Bible studies and book studies. We get it. I mean, we're there with you. It's different. So that hunger that you have to be part of that is your spiritual communion for you guys, right? I mean, to yearn to be with your fellow brother and sister, because we know where two or more are gathered, he's with us. Right. So
there's a reason why we call it communion.
Right.
Yeah.
We're all in union.
And there's so many ways that we can get fed by God, you know, his word and, you know, praying the rosary or other ways, forms of prayer, silence, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So since we can't receive that grace of the Eucharist, there's so many other channels that we can receive, which is awesome. So look for those.
Absolutely.
Number three, increase family time.
Like
we've had
John,
a
I were
lot
saying,
of that here
okay,
lately.
Okay, it's a lot more, maybe. No, but it's good to have family time, obviously, and you know, less technology because we're all on it a lot. You know, especially with checking on coronavirus stuff and stats and is there a cure and that kind of thing, to get off the technology and be able to spend time with your family, quality time, board games, going outside, playing some sports. And just having a conversation. The other day, I just called one of my sons over and helped me do the dishes. And we talked for a few minutes there, whereas ordinarily that may have not happened because he would be off to go school, do school stuff, and I'm doing my work stuff. So find a way to connect with each individual person in your family.
Something you guys may be seeing and that I've been seeing just in the news and such is parents are becoming homeschool parents now.
Right.
And it's interesting, the news spot that I saw was about how difficult it is for these parents to actually conform to homeschooling, and
it's difficult.
I wonder next year how many teachers are going to get all kinds of cool things at Christmas time and presents and stuff, because they'll appreciate those teachers all the more.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, another thing that I've noticed just on driving around and heading into town or even on Facebook, there's more pictures on Facebook of people with their families. Taking walks, doing stuff in the kitchen, cooking dinner or whatever. Right. It's been more family oriented. There's more people posting pictures of them with their kids than their food.
Yeah, and random things.
Random stuff or things that they've, just into at the moment. Now they're doing, it's more precious time.
Yeah, praise God, right? He's the one that's making this happen, and there's good from it.
That's right.
I wonder how many more people are putting in just little gardens at home. Melissa, I was gone at work and she tilled it up. And
us too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've got a nice little garden planted. Amen for the rain.
Yeah.
Nice. Very good. Number four, slow down, quiet time. We have five kids. There's no such thing.
Only the bathroom. It's the quiet place.
Yeah.
Lock that door.
Daddy, why are you in there so long?
Yeah, to slow down, it's tough. And to have quiet time, this can be a time of retreat. Or in the quiet time, though, we're confronted with our struggles, with our weaknesses, with if we have somebody has an addiction. And that comes to the surface, you know, in the silence. I remember when I was in the seminary, I went on a 30-day silent retreat. There is no hiding anything from God in silence. Mm. And so as this extends further and further and there's more and more silence, we're confronted with our weaknesses. And the devil will come into that, and we have to make sure to say, hey, God, I am weak. What do I need to work on? And whether it be sin or addiction, like I said.
Idle hands are the devil's playground,
yeah.
Right? So, but I love what you said. These things surface in the silence.
Mm-hmm.
But know thyself is definitely coming to the front of mind. And what I've noticed at my cousin's painting her house, and the honey-do list is getting whittled away.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, this comes out of saying, point number four, slow down and quiet time. You know, these are like projects like putting in a garden. That's meditative time.
Yeah.
You're working and you're busy. Painting, it's a very slow process, but you get that meditation in that work. And a lot of us are busy in our work life where we're having to communicate with people in order to get our jobs done.
Mm-hmm.
But these home environment things, while you might be keeping yourself busy and working, mowing the yard, you know, painting the house and doing all these projects, it is an opportunity to have that meditative time with God and kind of like the Benedict way.
I was just going to say, prayer and work. Yeah, do that work. You can
it doesn't necessarily have to be quiet. I get a lot of thinking done on the lawnmower.
So riding lawnmower with a jet engine off a Chinook helicopter.
There's not any outside distraction. It's just loud of the lawnmower. Yeah. So I'm just with my thoughts.
Yeah.
On the lawnmower.
Nice. Emma falls asleep when I'm riding on the lawnmower, and it's so loud and bumpy, and she just passes out.
Repetitive noise. She
passes out.
Bishop Barron just had a video not too long ago talking about how during this time, like as we were discussing here, the quiet time of reflecting on a couple of questions of who am I?
Yeah.
Why am I here?
Right.
You know, questions we try to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And he just talked a lot about our distractions. Our distractions are gone.
Right.
Professional sports, movies, they're all on pause.
Yeah.
So this is time when we can reflect and spend some quiet time and really find out who we are without our distractions.
A lot of people are saying, I wanted to get back to normal. But what is normal, and is normal good?
Yeah.
Is normal helping you to be the best version of yourself, like Matthew Kelly says? Are you holier now, or are you holier back in a couple of months ago? You know, are you a better version of yourself now or then? You know,
right.
So normal is, it's. Do we want the normal to be that way in a couple of months, whether God willing, this is all done? Or do we like it the way it is now? I would say now, but that's just me.
Yeah. Again, this is uncharted territory that we're talking about here, and it's actually a bold topic for us to be talking about 10 positive things.
This is going to change the world. It already has, it's not going to go back to normal.
Yeah, the effect will continue for who knows how long.
Yeah.
Number five, increase in personal family prayer time.
We've been doing a consecration to Mary, and it's one that's like for third through fifth grade, so it's kind of cool. So I'm at my level. No,
yeah, but, I like it.
You know, it was really nice because they had stories from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and just other Disney movies and stuff like that to make the connection to Jesus through Mary. So we've been doing that as a family. We're finishing today, which is pretty cool, the timing on that. And, you know, just finding time. For me personally, I've been trying to do an extra Divine Mercy chaplet because, Lord, have mercy on us right now. And then getting outside and walking, getting some physical exercise, noticing what I need to do as far as the lawn goes, but trying not to get distracted by that and get into that. So it's good to do something extra to end the coronavirus. You know, I know the Tyler Diocese, the bishop there, Bishop Strickland, is asking for his priest to do two masses a day. One for whatever occasion, you know, intentions, the other one to end coronavirus, you know.
Wow.
So that's a great, you know, personal thing that they can do there, and we can join that as well.
That's great! Actual physical contact!
Awesome. Absolutely.
That's great. I don't think we can add to that. Number six, redemptive suffering. Some people are not going to know what that is.
Yeah, yeah. That's a tough one that we can kind of break down a little bit. You know, suffering is nothing that we all want to be a part of. You know, no. You know, Jesus, you know, said, let this cup pass from me. Do I have to go through this? And then the divine God, Jesus, who he is, says, not my will, but your will be done. So we can enter into that suffering. And a lot of people say it's worth 10 times more of a prayer to say, you know, one guy taught me, I was on a mission trip and his car broke down and we were all in the car. We were heading somewhere and the car broke down. He said, praise God. I said, what? Praise God in the midst of a broken down car in the middle of nowhere. We're supposed to be somewhere. So in the midst of suffering, if we call upon Christ, that prayer is worth so much more. So in this time of like, no toilet paper or whatever it may be, that suffering. I mean, I saw a picture on Facebook of a kid that was like just skin and bones, right? You know, in an African country. I'm like, no, that kid's suffering. I'm not suffering. You know, I don't have a jug of milk in my refrigerator. Oh, wow. That's not that big of a deal. But these little sufferings can help us to become holy and to call God to mind when something is penance. You know, you don't have something in the fridge or, you know, the pillow isn't right or whatever it is. Little ways, yeah.
I think there are some people that don't really, I don't know a few Catholics that don't even believe in redemptive suffering.
Yeah.
Well, I think it comes to a lot of people, it strikes them odd because the fact of it makes, I think it confuses non-Catholics and even Catholics that we have to earn our way, our salvation, and they don't understand. I don't think that they understand what is our part. We do have free will. Mm-hmm. And if God compels us against our will, then it's not pure, true love, mm-hmm. right? So we have a choice that we can make. Mm-hmm. And speaking with a Reformed Baptist pastor two nights ago, and I mean, we were talking from like 6 p.m. until midnight. Wow. Just a couple of days ago. Yeah, wonderful man. I love him. We hugged. We broke the COVID rules and gave each other a big hug and afterwards. But it was that, you know, you when God calls you to a salvific relationship, you will not have the capability to say no to the Lord. Mm. And you know, it's kind of compelling to hear, but it's hard for me to believe it. Mm. Yes, God can do anything. And if he wants you, he'll take you in one way or another. So what I'm getting at is in redemptive suffering, what does it matter? If God's already done all the work, then we have no role to play in salvation history. Mm. And
so then what's the point?
They call it fate, call it luck, call it karma. I believe that everything happens for a reason.
What's the point? Why should we suffer? God's already done it on the cross, and it's not to diminish that at all. Mm-hmm. But I think that's where the crux is. People have a hard time understanding. Why should we go through this suffering? What is it? What's the value in it, guys?
Mm-hmm. For what purpose?
We know that we grow when we go through hard times together.
Yeah.
That's why if you look, watch any old war movie, those guys come together, guys and gals, they come together in their darkest hour. I mean, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, right? We call on the Lord when we're in the valley. And sometimes we don't when we're on the mountain. Mm-hmm. And I think death exists for a reason. Because it's a mystery and an uncontrolled mystery that we need to know that someone, God, is there for us in the end, because we will have absolutely no power when our last breath has been taken. Mm-hmm. So we put our spirit in the hands of God just like he did on the cross. And I went long on that, but guys, I mean, we don't have That's to great. Wear glass in our shoes to say, Lord, I'm sorry, and I'll punish myself. Yeah.
Sit on thumbtacks.
I've been sitting on thumbtacks. Very sharp, unsanitized thumbtacks. I've had blood on my skivvies for weeks. and I know it makes God so happy.
Thanks.
We can participate in that,
only unsanitized.
Which is crazy that Christ trusts us that much to let us participate in that suffering, and it's a gift. It's really weird to look at it that way,
yep.
But it's a gift. When my parents divorced, it was the hardest time of my life. You know,
yeah.
They fought for 14 years.
Mm.
I'm the man today because of that. Would I want anyone to go through that? No way.
Yep.
Suffering and, you know, just running away from the world, and just, it was terrible times. Those memories come back to me still today. But that suffering has made me stronger. And like you said, you know, football practice, 3 days in college, you know, like, I hated it. I wanted it to end, but became a better athlete because of it. Gelled as a team. So you're right. The suffering is really makes us the men we're called to be and women.
To look at people in a non-secular light, Mahatma Gandhi, he took on that. I mean, the impact of the world just by fasting.
Right.
Talk about redemptive suffering, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a choice to give all to God by taking away everything that we provide for ourselves, even.
It would be an experiment, not to interrupt you. What if a diocese said, we're going to all fast on every Friday of Lent, or every day, you know, until the coronavirus is over? I wonder if that area... it would be expelled, you know. Who knows? God can do amazing things. But he said through fasting, through prayer, and everybody in the world is praying. Good. I think the spread of coronavirus is slowing down. But what about fasting? You know, and I don't know. I'm not the first to say, hey, I want to do that. You know, not at
right.
all. But
yeah, I'm grumpy when I'm hungry.
I know it.
Yeah.
Feed me, Cobblepot. Feed me now.
I can't.
I'm starving.
Same way. Not about you, but me.
Yeah, Nelson Mandela. He was in prison. Forever, and then you know the world rallied around him after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's and that suffering, people are paying attention to it. Look at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We look at it in mystery and awe.
That's also a problem with it, though. I mean, look, after 9/11, everybody went to church. It got really, everybody turned to God immediately, and then we got lazy again.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of ventured back to the way things were.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this is. I hope. That this won't be the case
like
with
it's
this
longer,
coronavirus.
Right? God's dragging it out to say, don't forget.
Yeah, that was one time shock event, really fast, hit us hard, mm-hmm. scared everybody to death, and then it was over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't ending. It's not stopping. Uh-huh. It's going on and on and on, and then with the media and their, well, we won't go into politics.
Guys, our hearts reach out to those people that have lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm. And lives.
And lives. Mm-hmm. And that have, I mean, we know that it's impacted so many people.
Yeah.
And these prayers that we're talking about in increasing our prayer life and family life, we're not insensitive to the national disaster, the economic disaster, and the international disaster declarations
it's
and
huge.
Things. It's yeah, that's why we're talking about it.
But today we're just trying to focus on the good.
Absolutely,
focus, so much negative. Yeah,
all over the place. Negative.
Comment.
Let's focus on the positive. Number 7: live simply, do without. Some things we're doing without because it's out.
Don't have a choice.
We don't have a choice. There's no toilet paper.
Yeah.
Why is everybody all of a sudden brushing their teeth? I mean, there's no toothpaste in some of the stores.
Really?
Yeah. It's and, you know, maybe because they're closer at home or something, so they can smell each other's breath in the morning.
Tic-tac, sir?
Oh, no.
Yeah. It could be.
Live simply. I mean, like, for me, my confirmation Saint Francis, so I'm like, oh, all right, here we go. Like, there's so much I can do without. I mean, I'd rather get rid of all of our stuff at our house and just say, you know, we just need a bed and a refrigerator and some food, and let's call it good, guys.
What if the internet went out during the midst of all this?
Do? Yeah.
I think that's – there was somebody talking about that earlier this week, that the internet is bogged down. All our other distractions are gone. So the only thing left of a distraction is the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So things are just overloaded.
Yeah.
And YouTube and other outlets are just they're slow. They're skipping and they're not refreshing as quick. We're used to the. I still remember the day when we had to wait for that little circle.
Yeah. Come to my house. It still happens.
Or the modem. That crazy noise that the modem makes. I still remember that.
Just to boot up and just get going.
We've lost our patience because it's all lickety-split now. Instantaneous distraction.
Through. Yeah.
So maybe we ought to turn it off. Put the phones down.
Put the phone down.
Yeah, or just look at our own phones and how much time you spent. You know, it can tell you how many hours you spent on your phone. So, you know, try to cut that in half this next week.
Yeah, I hate that feature. Every Sunday, bling, you've been on your phone 25% more than last week.
Yeah. Oh, don't tell me that.
Dang it.
But it's great.
Yeah. Number eight.
Number eight, God is in control and we are not.
Oh, isn't that hard? Hard to hear for us personally and as an American, and like, you know, this could drag on for who knows how long, you know, for people that are struggling right now and they're at home or they're out of work. I mean, I've been in that boat. I've been wanting a job and I couldn't find it, and I apply and there's nothing there. I mean, it's redemptive suffering again, you know. It's that time to say let go and let God. So easy just to throw out there that saying, but to live it and to experience it, it's hard. Yeah.
So, you know, lots of commentary on news outlets and Facebook and social media outlets and such, and about the media being in control of this situation and
the power of the media.
They're controlling the narrative on this. But I think what we have to all remember is that this and this is what we need to ensure is in God's control, because no matter what's happening in our society, that is what society wants. That's what the devil wants, is your heart, your mind, and your soul. And so no matter what's going on with this pandemic, that we continue to point those things towards God and allow him to be our convincing social media outlet. And so this is a great point, you know, that God is in control, but we have to continue to allow him to be. And if you just look at a pie chart, we did this with our high school youth, and we had them in small groups, and they had to draw a sliver of that pie that they give to God every single day, and they broke it into 24 hours. So we had to cut a chunk out for, well, they're teenagers, so like 10 or 12 hours of sleep. And then you know, they eat a lot too, so you know, there's like 4 or 5 hours of that. Well, gosh, there's not that much left for Xbox. When they looked at that pie chart, and do this for yourself, literally take a pen and paper out and draw this for yourself and put it right in your face to see how much are you allowing God to control your time, because it's his time that he's giving you.
We're limited on it every day. It's a blessing. And other exercises, find the verses in the Bible, 365 verses in the Bible that talk about don't be afraid, you know, and find those, you know, and call upon those.
The first words of JP2's pontificate, be not afraid.
Be not afraid.
Not afraid.
Better impression.
Number nine, becoming more selfless versus selfish.
Again, I sigh because I know that I'm selfish, and you know, I'll admit, everybody, you know, the top of my list for confession is selfishness. I mean, to be able to be selfless is our goal, and put that in
opposite of original sin.
There you go.
I'm about to say, isn't that the root of all sin? Yeah. Selfishness.
Yeah, that pride.
Mm-hmm. The pride.
Yeah,
that's right. So the opposite is selfish. Selfish. Selflessness.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
Tongue twister.
You have control of the edit button, so
I'll leave it in. It's more natural. But yeah, we've talked about, my wife and the kids have decided to, you know, maybe baking some goods and delivering them to a few less fortunate in the community, or some older members of the community 6 feet away. And leave it on your doorstep. I'm going to leave, you know, or something like that. And I've heard stories of as well, as people filling up grocery bags and just leaving it on people's doorsteps who can't go out grocery shopping.
We opened up our mailbox and it was plumb full of food this week. Who dropped that off? Praise God.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, it was nice.
That's
amazing. It's like the joke of the lady, and I'll make it quick, but she'd go out on her front porch and say, Lord, I need some food. Give me some food. I need food. And then the neighbor next door, who was not a believer, said, oh, that ain't going to work. And so one day he went and bought her a bunch of groceries and put it on her doorstep. And she came out and saw the groceries. And he was sitting out on his front porch just snickering. And she said, thank you, Lord, for giving me this food. And he said, that wasn't the Lord, that was me. And she just got down on her knees and said, thank you, Lord, for giving me this food and making the devil pay for it.
I don't care who you are. That's funny right there.
That's pretty good.
So selflessness at home with your kids. One idea that I had, and hopefully it works out, is I'm going to have my kids make the other one's bed.
Oh, ooh. So,
Just a small example of service and selflessness, because I can tell you what, they're very, very particular and controlling about their space as kids. You know, their toys, they don't want anybody touching them. Just one little example. Maybe you guys can have some better ones, and please put them in the comment section.
Yeah, because most of our day, most people, when we wake up, we're thinking about all the things we need to do. And now it's like all about, it can be about others. It could be about God. And so waking up with a whole new thought, frame of mind, like, what can I do for others today? You know,
makes you be creative.
It's awesome.
No, that's great. All right. Number 10, evangelization through social media.
So if you're on social media, you might as well use it as a platform for good. You know, and as for Catholics, we're way behind. It's part of the reason why we started Rome Boys, because there's just not a lot out there to evangelize, to spread the gospel and to share ideas. And, you know, the other day I walked into our local church and somebody just, you know, a kid did chalk outside there and made a stained glass window and it said, "Trust God." And I just took a picture and posted it, and there's tons of likes and shares. I didn't do anything. It was the kid that made it. And all I did was clip post. You know, it's just little ways to get the positive message of God out there.
There's pictures of people on Facebook that are painting their windows to stained glass windows, you know, just kind of using markers and making their own stained glass window, which is really cool. Mm-hmm.
So on the Rome Boys Facebook page, we want you to like that page, but let's let that be your outlet and platform. You guys start posting things to the Rome Boys Facebook page, the positive. This would be a great way to just bring number 10 to light, evangelization through social media. Mm-hmm. We'll be sure to share your post and get it out to our own friends and such.
Awesome. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Great list. Great show. What do y'all think?
Awesome.
Fantastic, guys.
But that was awesome.
Don't forget to like and subscribe and share. Please share this with all your friends. And we'll be back soon. And God bless.
God bless.
You can share it with your enemies, too.
I like it.